So we had the federal budget last night. Now, you'll remember last year, last May, the budget came as a massive shock to the arts sector. George Brandis, who was the arts minister then, shifted more than $100 million away from the Australia Council and reassigned it to a new ministry-run outfit called the National Program for Excellence in the Arts. Well, what's happened since then? Esther Anatolitis is Director of Regional Arts Victoria, and she joins us now. Hi, Esther.
Hello, good morning.
Give us a quick update. Just remind us what happened between the federal budget, the last federal budget, and this one. The National Program for Excellence died and was phoenix-like, re-emerged as Catalyst.
Yes, it was catalysed into a new name. So, as you're saying, the former Minister for the Arts, Senator Brandis, had the idea to start up a new fund that was going to operate in an independent way, that was going to have a higher degree of ministerial discretion and was not going to be subject to the kinds of rigorous peer review and assessment that the Australia Council oversees, and wasn't going to be part of that strategic suite of what, you know, catalyses or stimulates the entire arts ecology. And given all the concerns about that and the fact that that fund was not going to be able to be accessed by individual artists or arts organisations looking to fund their costs to work over time and to operate, there was then a Senate inquiry. It had the biggest response of any Senate inquiry in history, 2,700 and something expert responses from all over Australia, all arguing the same thing, that the money needed to be restored to the Australia Council so that it could proceed with what it had only really just announced and Senator Brandis had just launched as a really ambitious, comprehensive strategic plan for the arts.
So then we got the new arts minister, Mitch Fifield, and some of the money was given back and some money remained within the ministry, and the new outfit that would distribute the funds was called Catalyst. So have things changed? We've now had a budget. What's happened since then? Where does the budget leave us?
Well, no, things haven't changed. And the budget, it wasn't particularly inspiring, was it? There was no mention of the arts at all. So there were genuine concerns that there would be other significant unannounced cuts to the Australia Council and to other programs, given that had been the pattern. And instead, there was no mention at all. So no heeding the call of those 2,700 and something experts to restore that funding back to the Australia Council.
But no cuts either. No cuts either, is there?
Well, there are, you know, under that umbrella of the efficiency dividend, the Australia Council will lose $1 million going into the next few years. And then there's also the other efficiency dividend hits on the major cultural institutions in Canberra and elsewhere in the country. So there are certainly cuts. They may be called something else, but there are certainly losses.
Now, another thing that's been cut is income tax for small businesses. Lots of artists do work as independent contractors. Writers and painters are running little businesses of their own. So those who are in the arts for commercial reasons, who are making a living, they will be beneficiaries of that.
Yeah, probably not so much. There are a lot of sole traders who wouldn't be subject to that. There are non-profit arts organisations who also aren't subject to that. But then the big issue, particularly for, say, writers, is around the threats of if the Productivity Commission's implementations were to happen, which is around significant reduction in one's own copyright access to that, the fair use provision, which allows outfits like Google to republish all of your work without any payment or compensation. So there are a lot of threats to artists and others working independently.
Yeah, we'll talk about those issues in a later program. Big challenges for writers lying ahead. All right. Well, the budget is pretty much neutral then. Let's look at other news and economics, which is actually Catalyst itself. The government's Catalyst program has made its first allocations over the past few months, and then on Monday it announced 70 projects that are being funded. Are there any surprises here, Esther?
Well, I guess, you know, a few surprises. I've talked in other forums about the $1 million that's gone towards the heritage of the landscape painter Hans Haysen, which, you know, goes well beyond the $500,000 limit, funds heritage, which was explicitly precluded by the Catalyst
Let's
program.
Let's just explain this, Esther. So the Hans Haysen House. Hans Haysen was a famous South Australian landscape painter, much loved in South Australia and I guess across Australia, but particularly in South Australia. And he had a house in the Adelaide Hills, which I don't know anything about this. It's a tourist attraction, is it?
I think the idea is to build it up as one, and
that sounds lovely.
I think it's fantastic to preserve the heritage of artists. But funds like Catalyst and like the other funds that are administered by the Australia Council are for living artists. They are for artists creating work for audiences today. And there are other explicit government programs that are for heritage. And so it was just, you know, it's a shame, and it kind of it dampens the impact of all the other fantastic Catalyst projects, including 16 that I can see of the 79 that have been granted that have got regional impacts. They've received, you know, tens of thousands, maybe 100,000. And then to see $1 million going towards something that even the government's own media release tells us has been the object of the subject of significant local lobbying by Mr. Briggs and Mr. Bernardi. It's an unfortunate use of funds that could have gone to catalyse the arts.
There's that word. So the Australia Council itself will be announcing its grants on the 16th of May, which is Monday week. Given that it's got much less money to disperse than it's had in the past, who do you think could win and who could be the losers in that round of funding?
Oh, look, there's lots of worry about this. There's talk of, you know, 40% of the currently funded organisations losing out altogether. And this is, you know, to be clear, this would be organisations unable to continue supporting artists and producing fantastic work that has reputations here and internationally, not because their work isn't excellent and not because it's not making a unique contribution, but because of that money that's been taken away for Catalyst. And so it's going to be, I mean, there'll be some terrible news in the next couple of weeks, and organisations have to think about where they'll be able to continue at all. But then we're not going to start to see the impact of that before the end of this year, the start of next year, when we also see a huge, huge increase in demand to all those other means of supporting the arts, corporate and philanthropic bodies, who are already facing the biggest demand they ever have.
Esther, there will be people listening who wonder why artists are not happy with the setup that has the Australia Council on the one hand, where you have peer review, and Catalyst on the other, where it's in the gift of the minister or the minister's advisers. Because from the outside, it looks as though you've got two options as an art maker. You can go to the Australia Council, and at the same time, you can go to Catalyst. Two different processes with two different decision-making systems at work. Aren't your chances of being a winner increased?
Well, as an artist, you've got lots and lots and lots and lots of different options, and it's only a small proportion of artists and organisations who are funded by government. You know, you can raise money. You've obviously got box office and other ways of attracting income. And for the majority, the government support is a small amount that they leverage to attract other sources. But when artists or scientists or educators, when anyone applies to the government for funding, we, the taxpayer who are contributing to that, expect that money to be decided in a clear, open, transparent way with clear criteria by experts in the field who are making that decision, and also as part of a strategy, as part of a strategic plan, so that every time there's a particular investment, a particular grant, it doesn't just do something fantastic for that artist or that project, but it's contributing to an overall cultural vision for Australia's arts and creative industries. So that's the strength of having a body like the Australia Council, like the CSIRO for the sciences, for example, that can have that long-term strategic vision and give everyone, artists, audiences and taxpayers, that confidence that there is a plan, that the arts is being sustained and nurtured, and that individual artists have that choice as one among many.
Esther, thank you. It's been great to get your reading on the state of arts funding in Australia, especially the day after the federal budget.
Oh, lovely to talk to you.
Esther Anatolitis is Director of Regional Arts Victoria and a regular commentator on arts and politics, and she was there joining us today, actually from Adelaide. So if you ruled the world, how would you support art and artists? You can jump onto the website and have your say. Talk to us on Twitter. I'd love to know whether you think there is a clearer and better way of doing all this. And apropos of this particular issue, just a mention of the latest of the platform papers. These are the quarterly essays about the arts that are put out by Currency House, the publisher Currency House. The new one is called After the Creative Industries, and it asks what happened to the idea of the creative industries. In the government's new plans for innovation, there doesn't seem to be much mention of arts or culture, or of what used to be called the cultural economy. This paper is by Professor Justin O'Connor from Monash Uni, and it's being launched in Melbourne tomorrow, that's Thursday the 5th of May, as part of an afternoon forum. So if you're in Melbourne and you want to go to that, there's a link for information on our website.